Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Hello and welcome to Catharsis. I'm Tiff Stevenson, full-time comedian, part-time, massively unqualified therapist for this podcast only. Each week I talk to a guest about small things that are pet peeves or old grudges that they wish to heal. And they can maybe get some release. I probably shouldn't say release because whenever I say it, it sounds like a hand job. We'll also dive into a topical gripe or two and we'll bring some listener problems to the show today. Before I introduce my guest, which I'm very excited about having him this week, I do want to talk very briefly about these current attempts to rebrand shark attacks. Basically, sharks are having a PR job done on them. I'm not happy about it. There was a press release recently that said we need to rebrand them. I mean, who is taking this on as a job? Yes, could you not refer to them as frenzied attacks? Let's call them bitey wet times. Can we say you were lovingly lacerated? And also, could we stop referring to the sharks as prehistoric because they find that quite offensive? I don't know where this came from or where it started, but we know that sharks are, you know, prehistoric predators. I don't think we need to rebrand the shark attacks. I don't think they need the great press. I'm going to ask my guest what he thinks. Actually, this week I am joined by comedian, raconteur, and utterly mad bastard, Tom Ward.
Am I a mad bastard?
I think I said that because you sometimes do videos as Ray Winston, and he's definitely a mad bastard.
Well, I'm a wacky bastard because I own these shades. And we all love a wacky guy, don't we? We're wacky shades. This guy arrives at your party.
That's your rebranding. Speaking of rebranding, your shades are rebranding. You're just going to move into your carrot top era with those and become a prop comic.
Become a wacky guy. Just constantly wacky everywhere I go. It's not just for the cameras. It's part of my life. It's in the shops. It's in the streets.
How do you feel about sharks?
About sharks or shark attacks, I think are a terrible event, a shocking event. Terrible for the families.
Yes.
For those affected. But for the shark, it's a great day. Sharks in general, I don't really like them. I find them to be quite unforgiving company, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And they're not beautiful. If they were beautiful and they did all that stuff, then I wouldn't mind. But they just have this look about them, like a sort of...
Well, like bears are cute as well.
Yeah.
And little bear cubs are cute. So you kind of go, oh, but bears are cute. And actually, I saw a picture recently, a friend of mine lives in Connecticut, and he sent me a picture of a bear that had smelt some cookies being made in someone's kitchen and had got up on the porch steps and had its paws on the
window. My God.
So there you would kind of go, yeah, you kind of feel sympathy towards the bear. You don't have to rebrand bear attacks because people go, they're awful, but also bears are cute, so we're not just going to indiscriminately find them.
I do think we are essentially quite shallow about the animals we like and don't like based on how cuddly they are.
Yeah. I'm a pretty cuddly animal.
I do suspect being attacked by a bear is deeply unpleasant. even if you're looking at it at the time going, God, you're cute. I don't think, you know.
Well, I mean, if Leonardo DiCaprio is anything to go by in the world's longest film.
You mention him every time I see you. He's always on your mind, isn't he, Leo?
I think he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
You just wish you were 22, don't you? So look at
25, you. Tom. We all know that's the cap. 25 for Leonardo.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's start the podcast by getting into some of your stuff. Because the first section of the show we like to call old grudges. So that's something that happened to you in the past that you maybe feel like, I wish I'd have handled that differently. Or maybe just like, oh, I want to say this, like, fuck that person. And it can be big, it can be small, it can be fun, it can be silly, it can be serious. Just tell me what you got to bring to the table.
Well, a few grudges came to mind, and I think they're all around a similar theme. When I was 8, I went into the classroom at the end of break time and saw that my teacher's cup of tea had been left there. So, and I was worried about it getting cold. So I put it on the windowsill so that it could be closer to the sun. To keep it warm. And then she came in and said, where's my tea? And I'd said, I put it up there. And she shouted at me. She told me off. And I tried to explain, but she sent me out. So I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you're listening, but that really upset me. And I feel like that set a tone for me being misunderstood when I was trying to do nice things.
Throughout your life.
Again. It happened again. When I was 12, I tried to help my classmates stop smoking. And so I bought them herbal cigarettes from Holland & Barrett, and I sold them to them at cost price. No profit.
Oh, cost. No profit.
Yeah, I just wanted to help them. And then someone dobbed me in and said they saw me selling them, and I got suspended for 2 weeks.
So the tragedy of that story is that, you know, you got suspended for selling herbal cigarettes, which it's not even cool.
No, it's not cool at all. I know.
If you'd have been selling some Benson and Hedges or Marlboro Reds, then you would have been like, at least I've got the cred points. So did the friend ask you to buy the herbal cigarettes, or did you just take it upon yourself?
No, I was a proactive child, you know. I just wanted I didn't want my classmates to smoke. It's too young to smoke 12, you know. And they were all very cool, you know, talking about the girls they were seeing on holiday and all this stuff. And I'm like, I had no clue about what they were doing and how they were doing it. But I was like, you know what? One thing I can do is end this slippery slope now with tobacco, at least.
So the herbal cigarettes and honey cigarettes are what they give actors on set if you don't smoke.
Okay.
And I don't smoke, so I've smoked those a few times. And they do give off a certain amount of like billowy-ness.
Yes.
So that it looks like you're smoking in a scene. So I like that you didn't add anything on. I also like that you just, like you say, you're proactive. You didn't check with them. You just went, no, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, if nicotine patches, were nicotine patches available then as well?
Well, it was the 90s, so I'm guessing they were.
So you're like kind of like a low-key doctor.
Yeah.
just getting about school going, I've got to make sure your tea's warm, that you're not smoking cigarettes, you're not doing anything that's bad for you.
Yeah, but I was learning, the big education I was receiving from all this was that the world is a deeply cynical place, and that, you know, kindness isn't always rewarded. I was sent out of class for the tea, and I was suspended for the cigarettes.
So what happened then? Did your parents like get a letter to say Tommy's not coming to... Right, okay.
No, they got a call and said that was it. So I was off school for 2 weeks, and I just had to go to my dad's office and study there. And I had 3 donuts every day, so I put on half a stone. So it was a really difficult time. But when I was 13, I went to help an old lady carry her bag up the stairs, and a man saw me off her, and he said, why would she need help with a bag that small? And looked at me like I was a thief. And I was like, do you know what? Fuck all these people, man.
Oh, I see. Immediately when you said that, I thought he meant sexist, but like,
oh no, she was an old lady. No, she was elderly. She wasn't she wasn't like 30 or something. She was like 80.
Oh, so you thought you were going to nick her bag?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, I'm saying it now. Fuck you. I didn't say it at the time. I was a sad little child and didn't understand the world. And yeah, so those three experiences have made me the hardened, calloused,
human,
unkind person that I am now. I was like, do you know what? Shove it. If this is what you get from kindness, no more.
Calloused. You're a walking guitar thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Callous like a it's because the first one is just such a genuinely cute little thing to do, to kind of go, oh, the teacher's tick, like I'll put it in the sunshine and keep it warm. Did you have a little crush on her, or do you think it was just you being just like a good, you know?
Yeah, I just wanted to look out for her.
Yeah, and it's very sweet, and it's it upsets me to think that other humans crushed you so early, Tom.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is probably why I do comedy, isn't it? I'm trying to win the trust of the world,
win everyone.
Yeah.
Did you ever? So that kind of falls under the purview of no good deed goes unpunished. If you've ever heard that phrase.
Yeah, I have.
Did your
yeah.
parents believe you when you said that you were trying to help your friend? Were they
Yeah. But my dad was. Strangely, because he was a born-again Christian, so he was really into the drama of persecution. He really liked it when he got persecuted, or when I got persecuted, as he called it, which is quite a heavy word.
So now we're really beginning to unpack how you got into
the
stand-up
session
comedy.
Has begun.
And how did that make you feel, Tom?
Yes. So he was kind of happy about it. He liked it. Anytime there was a drama where the world was out to get us, he was like, good, good, good. We are suffering. We are suffering for the Lord. Our reward will be in heaven, you know. So there was all that going on. So that was quite confusing. I can laugh now because I'm medicated. At the time, I didn't even know medication existed.
It is one of those things of these early experiences do kind of shape how you approach doing nice and kind things. And I guess the doing the kind thing is supposed to be the reward in itself, right? You're not supposed to want to get something in return. But this isn't even you wanting something in return. This is you doing a thing and then being actively like punished for trying to help.
It gives you a very strange feedback loop of how the world works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, nothing is quite what I was told.
And did it stop then, or is it carried on into your adult life? Do you still now go, I'm not going to do that because I'm worried I'm going to get...
Do you know what, Tiff? I am so overflowing with kindness. You couldn't even stop me if you tried. I mean, I just no, but I do just want to be. I just want to do my thing. I'm not gonna let the world stop me.
Yes.
So I just plow on, man. I plow on. I always think you got to plow through, haven't you?
Yeah.
Got to put it out there and see who bites on your vibe.
You give freely your compliments, which is something I know about you, which I like.
Yeah.
There are people in life who freely compliment. I'd like to think that I'm one of them. And there are people who withhold it.
Right. I hate those people.
Which is like quite difficult, especially in the business that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, and there's other comics around, and like to kind of... You know, when you've seen someone be amazing or do well, you're like, that was great. And I love, you know, like, and there are some people who are like, yeah, I'm just not going to say anything. I'm just not going to say anything about what just happened. And I can't. I feel like it would like burst out of my chest if I didn't just say out loud.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. What are you scared of? I think people have this kind of fear that they'll give away some of their power or something if they reveal that they thought your set was good, you know, or they like that. They like that joke you did or whatever, like, oh, I shouldn't say it. The balance of power is so fragile. Imagine how nice life would be if you weren't threatened or saddened by other people's successes. That would, like, knock out 50% of the pain, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Especially of this job.
Yeah.
But I think any job. Like, I'm sure there's weather girls watching some other weather girl going on TV and be like, why is that bitch there? I'm way better at weather. She's only there because she wears short skirts or whatever, you know?
She doesn't know about low pressure.
Yeah,
she
not doesn't... like I do.
But here's the thing. I think I, and that doesn't mean that I don't get professional jealousies. I do, like loads. But I try not to let it stop me from acting, if I think something's great, going, oh, that's amazing. Like, oh, it's brilliant that you've done that. And trying to then kind of go, well, that's good, because it means if they're doing it, that just means more people are doing it. You know, I can do it. You know, and of course, you know, that comparison, that old phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. And that is what social media does so much. You only get to see the highlights, don't you? But I still see stuff and go, fucking hell, I wish I was, you know, like, mine tends to be like, I wish I was doing that. Not why they, like, I wish they weren't. I might go, oh, if they're doing, I could be doing that, you know, so I do get that. But I try not to let it get to the point where it won't let me acknowledge when something's good, because I can't get over the fact.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, it's all like smothered with this blanket of jealousy and rage and insecurity. Yeah. Like, let's just look under here. Oh, yeah, I'm actually quite happy for them. Or, oh, that, no, fair play. They do deserve it or whatever. Yeah.
In your best moments, not that we're always at our best moments. Well, thank you for sharing that with me.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So tell me about your unpopular opinion.
I love Bono.
I love Bono. I'm with you on this.
Yeah, but I find it very hard to meet people that open about it.
Right. Okay.
It's like it's trendy to slag off U2 and Bono. I love Bono. Bono's my favorite. I'll be devastated if I find out that Bono has been cheating on Ali for 46 years. There was rumors that he and Andrea Corr had a fling. And I was like, this is so exciting. And how could it not happen? How could it not? Come on.
You know, Irish pop and rock legends.
Oh, and they did a duet together. There's footage and they're both just swooning and breathy and gazing at each other. And oh, it's just like, of course they had to have sex after that. Or it was just a very good performance. But I love Bono.
Tom, have you heard of acting?
Yeah.
You don't believe it. Andrea Corr has acted in a few films, actually, so she definitely has the capability to fake that.
Yeah.
Is that upsetting for you?
No, I mean, I just, yeah, the truth is what I want, Tiff. But, you know, I love Bono. I think he's a charming, intelligent man with an incredible voice. I like U2 up until the late 90s. After that, it's a bit embarrassing, but I saw him speaking recently in person and it was magnetic. I was just, the guy knows how to work a room. He's a proper rock star. He's willing to play the role, you know, and he's fully committed. He's willing to be the spectacle.
Right.
You know, he's willing to be incarnate rock star all the time, and he loves getting in amongst it and talking about it and trying to work it out, and he's well read and he takes risks and he's willing to look naff for what he believes in, and he's got this massive ego and he's a hypocrite as well, which is just such a nice thing to see. You know, it makes you feel relaxed about your own
hypocrisy
and your vanity, like, you know, like, I'm vain and I'm self-obsessed, but I'm also concerned about things, as we know from my teenage stories. I want to help. But I'm also incredibly vain and want to look good and want to make money and want to get around. You know, he did an advert for a handbag company with his wife. Was it Louis Vuitton?
I was going to say, did he do a Louis Vuitton?
Did a Louis Vuitton advert. I saw the poster and I was like,
I feel like that's his wife going, I want a couple of Louis Vuitton bags.
Yeah.
Well, come maybe. On, Bono.
I'm sure he could afford them. It's like, oh, I'll get my checkbook, sweetheart.
Do you know how much the luggage range costs? I mean, I'm sure he could, but yes, it's in. It can go into the hundreds of thousands. It's insane. Like the old fashioned, because they do those, you know, like almost trunks. They do trunks, luggage
the box,
trunks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I admire. There was that whole 80s phase of Bono where you two kind of went a bit new romantic. And there are videos of Bono wearing like jodhpurs and knee-high boots on stage and a ruffle shirt and a blazer. Yeah. And I'm into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he looks hot there.
Is he wearing a snood?
And he wasn't wearing a snood, no.
Mm. He had was the mullet though, didn't he? He had a kind of...
Did have a mullet. He did for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that there's something really gratifying about the fact that they do, you know, they are a stadium rock band. They're huge. But they do political... talk about stuff that matters as well as being able to do a love song and as well as being able to, you know, but you Sunday Bloody Sunday, you know, they've got music that speaks to what was happening in Ireland in the 80s and what was, you know, part of the cultural sort of landscape. And I like that about them.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are many other stadium rock bands who you go, oh, they're also doing issues.
Yeah. There's range. There's real intelligence there.
Oh, Springsteen. Springsteen is probably another great example of someone who actually does sort of raises questions or talks about what's happening culturally.
Yeah,
You're not into Springsteen.
I'm not into Springsteen.
That's your fucking unpopular opinion for me, because Springsteen is a legend and a god and an icon. What is it about him?
He looks like an Athena poster.
Yeah.
He looks like, or a calendar of hunky men in the mid-90s. He looks like a Marlboro advert. I can't quite take him seriously. Just his look is...
Is he too all-American for you?
It's very American. His voice is like that, you know. I was bursting out of class. It's just too testosterone-y.
Oh, it feels like you should directly connect with it if he was busted out of class.
Yeah.
I was busted out of class for selling herbal cigarettes.
Yeah.
I can, you know, there is a lot of, like, if you do the sort of tropey stuff about Springsteen, you can kind of go, well, it's cars. There's going to be like Born to Run, chrome wheeled, fuel injected is one of the lyrics in that, like trading these wings for some wheels, you know, like there's a lot of cars, there's a lot of girls, but I kind of like the disenfranchised American blue collar, like he's talking about working class people. There's a great line in Jungle Land, actually, where he's talking about, it's just like a, you know, he's talking about Jersey on a Friday night. And he's like, he talks about, she turns out, the woman in the bedroom softly turns out the light and there's an eventual surrender. And then he says, the poets down here don't write nothing at all. They just stand back and let it all be. Mm. So it's just kind of the way he talks about the unfolding of, and the people are the poets of the town and they're the witnesses and stuff like that. I think there's something really, this is now just about how much I love Springsteen, but you don't like him. So this is an unpopular opinion.
I do have Springsteen. I have two of his albums. I've got Badlands and, Darkness on the Edge of Town, which has got Badlands on it. And one in the USA, but what I like about him and Bono is that they give so generously to their audiences. Every gig, it's just this huge amount of energy that they give.
Yes.
And that's what sets them apart. That's why they're megastars. You know, there's a lot of bands, there's a lot of people who want to be in bands, there's a lot of people who want to be rock stars, but actually fundamentally don't respect their audience.
Yeah.
You know that thing where we come out into when we come on stage and we're like, oh, I don't fancy it tonight. Oh, these crowds are a bit, well, I don't like playing in Surrey, whatever, you know. But these guys will rock up and they will belt it out, even to a slightly awkward audience or a disenchanted audience or a slightly strange situation where the venue isn't quite right. You know that they'll give it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like bands like Echo and the Bunnymen were turning down gigs and U2 were taking them, you know?
Yes. It was
famously, like, Echo and the Bunnymen turned down a wet T-shirt competition that they wanted a band. And U2 did it. I was like, this is pre-Sunday Bloody Sunday, I'm assuming. But as you were singing that there.
I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Wet titties.
But yeah, it's about like the generosity and the energy he has to still do it. That really shows me what it is to actually respect your audience and to be so single-minded. I admire that, you know.
Why do you think he's unpopular? Do you think it's for all of those reasons?
I think anything with morality gets people's backs up.
Right.
I don't think it's the music. I think the music is naff to certain people. They'll hear it and go, oh, it's all about mountains and flying and feelings and this kind of wishy-washy landscapey vibe. But I don't think that's enough. I think it's the morality. I think it's the anything where people make a moral choice puts people's backs up.
Right.
Because they're like, what are you saying about me? You're saying I'm wrong. And then they look for hypocrisy in the person that's proclaiming virtue.
And you said he's open about his hypocrisy, and that's quite refreshing.
I think he would admit that he's a complicated person, that he's not above the things. He's not above being human.
I was just remembering that episode of South Park now, because I was going, is he unpopular? But there was that episode of where he takes the world's biggest shit. And I just remember the whole way through it is that Bono comes on and he goes, yeah. Hello. Yeah. That's what they have him doing.
I'm not interested in that era of YouTube. That era, like post 2000, is just not interesting to me. It's the music anyway.
Yes,
I still think he's great, but the music is just terrible. But yeah, before that, they still felt like there was an itch that was somehow, okay, what's your itch, you know? But now it's like, it feels like he's churning out a kind of version of the itch, which I don't really,
yeah.
You know what I mean? When a band doesn't feel
I've churned
like
out a version of the itch, but it was thrush. No, but I think it's interesting, because I think sometimes it's people like to, for contrarianism or to be contrary, is take something that's hugely popular and then say, well, I hate that. So it can be an unpopular opinion to love something that's unabashedly successful and huge. How I get, and this is really petty and pathetic, I'll share this with you before we move on, is that I don't like people who never knew anything about a band that I love and then all of a sudden start talking about it. I'm like, shut up, I've loved them forever, get out. Like, I'll see people do it with Fleetwood Mac and stuff, and I'm like, shut up, get out of the way, you don't know about Stevie Nicks, you don't even, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't understand. So I'm like, I love them, now I don't like you, and now that you like them, it makes me want to not like them, which is utterly, that's beyond tragic, really.
I think as a culture, we have that, a version of that is happening whenever like young people come through and start becoming ideological at us.
Yes.
I think we have a version of that where we go, fuck you, I've been around a long time. I'm not an idiot.
Yes.
I lived through the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and we were, you know, this idea that I've been somehow culturally blind in all ways, that I didn't ever have.
Until you came along.
Yeah. with your shrill voice and your placard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
see one more person saying educate yourself and they haven't done a GCSE. And I'm like, this person's 15. I'm like, how about you educate yourself with an exam? Like,
literal. Yeah. So it pushes you back up, doesn't it? It's like, yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, I agree with your unpopular opinion, which is that Bono is pretty fantastic. Not that this podcast relies on me agreeing or disagreeing. I just want to put it out there that I also think Bono is a bit of a legend. Yeah. Okay, we have time to get into a listener problem. I describe it as angry aunt because I am supposed to kind of get angry on their behalf. I used to just like shout and rage, but now I'm middle-aged, so I'm going to have a good complaint. This is from the Bouncing Cow. So I put, do you have any problems? Dear angry aunt, yes. Young people saying, oh, bless to anyone over the age of 50. I think that could just be the phrase, oh, bless.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who just bless.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's innately patronising.
It's a lot, but I think a lot of people use it without even realising that it's that. I think it's almost like what do you use that when you like pepper something through a sentence? It's sort of like saying like, you know, like as a bit of rhetoric in speech, that you could drop loads of likes in. I think bless is bless. It's like a way of reacting. When someone says someone's done something and they go, oh, bless. It's a sort of non-response.
Yeah.
It's a sort of, is it a platitude? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, I think sometimes people get vertigo in conversations. Sorry, not vertigo, like a, hello.
Yeah.
Vertigo as in they can't handle a conversation. They get like, oh, it's too deep. Or, I'm in over my head here. Let's quickly put a full stop on it. You know, so they'll be like, they'll say bless or, well.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find a way to bring it back, you know, because they're in too far or something. But you can tell when someone is trying not to be nasty because they'll say bless him when they're bringing it into a conversation. I'll be like, oh, you know, David, bless him. And I'm like, oh god, what are you gonna, you're about to say something absolutely horrible now.
That sounds like a mum, it feels like a very mum kind of, oh, bless him, bless his cotton socks, used to be the full,
he's trying,
but yes. Yeah, you know, David's fucked up. Bless him. He was just trying. Bless his. Like, it's giving someone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but the undertone is, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. But also, you can't say it to anyone over 50. Like, well, I don't even think it's over 50. I think if you're much younger than a person you're saying it to, bless, it does feel like, what are you on about? Mm. But I think people aren't knowingly doing it. Before we go, let's have a quick chat about what you have to plug, if you have anything to plug, and hit me up with some dates, places people can go see you.
I have gigs always, gigging all the time. I've got stand-up sketch shows coming out next month. I've got a lovely event at the Comedy Store that I'm hosting on the 19th of June. So the week after your lovely gig at Old Rope.
Okay.
Week after that, 19th.
So buy
June,
tickets.
The Comedy Store, yes, and I'm hosting a charity event with Rich Hall headlining and Michelle Dessoir, Laura Smith, Emmanuel Sanubi, and Sean McLaughlin. What a
great lineup! What a lineup! So I would like to plug. I'm doing a week at the Edinburgh Fringe, work in progress at the Monkey Barrel, at midday. 1 week only, 14th to the 20th. Will I ever do a month again? Probably not. So if you want to come and see that work in progress, I've kept tickets cheap, low priced, so you can get on board with that. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. Old Rope is coming up on Monday, probably when this is out. So, but we are monthly at the Comedy Store, so check out Old Rope at the Comedy Store. Thank you for listening to Catharsis. Thanks for joining me, Tom.
Pleasure, Tiff.
You can listen to other programmes from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.